You know, every once in a while, you're given a treat. And doing this show day in, day out is just a treat. Every day is a treat. And every day you do something, you can do something fun. And enjoyable.
And enjoyable.
Well, my goodness.
Today
it's Marshall Karp is on the show. So Marshall, here's what I need you to do. I think I need you to turn off the sound on your computer and just listen to me. Through your earbuds for your phone. Does that make sense? Do you hear me now? Okay, yes. No, you can talk. You can say hi.
Oh, you're a vision and pledge. Yes, I can see you on my Zoomometer, and I can hear you in my iPhones and technology rules.
Well, here's the thing.
I'm here for my vaccine. So which sleeve should I roll up?
No, I asked Marshall to come on the show because I just love him. He's got a new book out, and he's one of my favorite guests. So I asked him to come on the show, and he said, well, he doesn't like not coming on the show when he can't see us. So we said, well, okay, we're not letting anybody into the studio, so we'll do it so I can see Marshall. Marshall can see me. We'll do Zoom, and then we can see each other, and I can see him. He's in his barn. I saw the dog. Kylie is there. Everything is good. So this is the way we're going to do it. So we're looking at each other, and we're getting to listen to each other. I think you can. It's one of the voices in your head. My voice is one of the voices in your head.
That's great. And if I go like this.
Yeah.
Don't ask that question.
Oh, yeah. See, this is why I don't offer this service to most of my guests. All right. Let me do
the. It's good to be here.
Well, I love having you here. Let me do the official introduction, if I may, sir, so people know how wonderful you are. You have co-authored 6 number one bestsellers with James Patterson, most notably the NYPD Red series. Brand new, out today, fresh on store shelves, NYPD Red 6. Marshall is, of course, known for his Lomax and Biggs crime fiction series. He is just one of the great crime writers of our time. Books in the Lomax and Biggs series include, of course, The Rabbit Factory, Bloodthirsty, Flipping Out, Cut, Paste, Kill, and Terminal. He is always charming. He is ever mirthful. He is our good friend, Marshall Karp, and we welcome you to the program. How are you, my friend?
I am great, really. My wife and I have been living together. Normally she's in New York,
right,
and I'm in Woodstock. We've been living together. Today is 280 days, 12 hours, 14 minutes, 26, 27, 28. No,
but it's going fine.
It's going great. It's new for us.
Yeah.
We usually see each other on weekends, holidays, vacations, and now we've included the list to include plagues.
Yeah.
So
now I have asked this question of many of artistic types, wonderful writers that we've spoken to, and I will ask this question of you. But do you find that your writing habits have changed in any meaningful way since this pandemic has come over us?
No. Interestingly enough, I don't know what the other guys have said and the other women have said, but no, because the pandemic hasn't changed my work style. I work at home. I was social distancing long before it was cool, about two decades. You know, I work at home. I do have an incredible close friend who's also my go-to technical advisor. And his name is Danny Corcoran, and he's NYPD homicide retired. And I want to make sure that even though everything is fiction, that what the cops do and even what the crooks do, what the bad guys do, has a ring of truth. So Danny would often come up here and hang out with me, and we would talk. So the big difference is that now we have to do it at a distance. But I still write, and actually, to some degree, I have more time because I'm not packing up and going to New York City for the weekend.
Right.
Also, one more thing. I don't put COVID in, as I'm writing the next book and the next book, it's not a COVID world. everything is fiction, and in this case, it's the old fictional world that we hated as opposed to the new one.
Now, I've told you this, but I just want to tell listeners that you have this new book out. It's NYPD Red 6, James Patterson and Marshall Karp, and it's terrific. And we'll talk about it in a second. I want to talk about it. We had an event last week with James Patterson through the Northshire Bookstore, and we were talking about his book, The Last Days of John Lennon, as well as the new Alex Cross, as well as this book. And so he'll be on our book show this afternoon at 3 o'clock. And so I'm just glad that you're on before he is on the broadcast day. I think that's great. I like that.
And it would be better if I was on before he is on the cover, but, you know, that's another story.
But all right, I don't know.
Giving me straight lines, Joe.
No, that's what I do. This may be one of the questions that you tell me to back off on, but the thing I noticed is when I was looking at the size font of your name compared to the co-authors on the other books that I was interviewing him, yours is much bigger. Okay.
I had a nickel for every time I heard. No. there is a reason for that. I got a lot more credit because for many of his co-authors, and I won't go into how Jim Patterson works, but for many of his co-authors, Jim creates a story, gives an outline, and passes it on, and he works with a writer to flesh out a couple of thousand words into 75,000 words and turn it into a book, and he works with them. We conceived this series together, so I was there at the conception of NYPD Red and there for every page. And so, I got full credit, same font. And in fact, for a while, James had thought that he was going to put my name on there and just said, written by me and presented by him. But as the world evolved, the publisher really thought it could be a very successful series for both of us, and it has been. It's sold, God, a lot.
Yeah. Well, it's great.
This is number 6.
It's great stuff. Now, so I want to talk about the book, but let me just ask you, so what is the future of the series? What will happen now?
This was the last book that we wrote together. Jim is producing, I don't know, 20 books and TV shows, and he's writing, publishing a second book with President Clinton. So he's pretty busy.
Yeah.
And this series now has a life of its own. I have the feeling when I'm writing NYPD Red 7. It has a big fan base. It's not necessarily my fan base, but it's a fan base for NYPD Red and for the characters. And hopefully I will write it, and there will be a publisher out there who wants to pick up the 7th book in a best-selling series, but that's not my job. I have an agent who goes out there and does all the heavy lifting.
Well, good, because, you know, we want you.
He's the wind. He is really the wind beneath my wings, and I'm going to say emphasis on wind.
I don't want my best-selling writer to have a hernia. Okay. You know, there's a in the back of the there's a sneak preview of the president's daughter in the back of the new book.
I know that's because Mr. Patterson is a marketing genius. He doesn't let anybody go anywhere without telling them what's for sale next.
Well, and I don't want to spend too much time on this because this is about you and only you. But. Let us ask this question, which is marketing genius, but the two of you met in advertising, right? That's where the two of you met.
Yes. We met in the advertising business. I think it was 1989, and someone said to me, I was working in Hollywood, and I was getting a hiatus over Christmas holidays, and it was going to be about 3-4 weeks. And I had been in advertising. Headhunter called me and said, "Would you be willing to do some freelance for Jim Patterson. And I said, Jim who? Which is, you know, that's when he was, you know,
Jim who.
James who. Yeah. And we hit it off. I started working with him. He gave me assignments. And, you know, at some point I said, you know, how did we get so close? He said, well, you're reasonably intelligent and you're not too much of, you're not that big of a jerk. Except he didn't say jerk. He said
something else. Another right.
WAMC word that I can't start that's or say.
Now,
anyway.
So the series comes out, and as you say, you really are the person that is, and I think this is great because you tell this story beautifully. This novel is really terrific. It stars a wonderful detective by the name of Kylie McDonald, who is part of NYPD Red. And for people who have not read the first five of these, just give them a sense of what NYPD Red is. This is an elite force, right?
Right. And I will just say that you exited Zoom, if you can get back on it, we'll see your face. But NYPD Red, the concept behind NYPD Red, this is an elite force of NYPD cops who handle the crimes that are committed to against the rich and famous.
Yeah.
When you think about a platinum flyer on Delta Airlines or anything like that, the airlines know where their bread is buttered. The city knows where, you know, it's the 1%. And it wasn't meant to be elitist. It was the kind of political move that cities do to make their important citizens feel more secure. And these are people that run major financial companies, et cetera. So also, I thought it would be really interesting not only to see police work, but to see the kind of crimes that could be committed against and often by incredibly wealthy people. One of the things I learned early on is that if someone has $9 billion, you know what they want more than anything?
A tenth?
Yeah, $10
billion. Yeah.
And then go on from there. And that kind of personality is interesting. So Kylie McDonald and Zach Jordan met at the police academy, and they had this absolutely torrid 28-day affair. And then Kylie went back to her old boyfriend. And in when we meet the two of them in the first NYPD Red 1, which is just called NYPD Red, they're thrown together. She's joining this elite force of NYPD Red. And so there's a lot of baggage, and there's a lot of the classic tension that you get between a male and female character. And, of course, her marriage over the course, the arc of the books, her marriage starts to go south. Also, let me just say one thing about the arc. NYPD Red 6 can be the very first book you read.
Oh, yeah.
It stands alone.
Yeah.
You don't have to know. It's like tuning into an episode of Law & Order. You don't have to know the backstory. You get it. It's kind of, I don't know, I'm a little uncomfortable right now being a writer of a series about New York City police, whom I have nothing but respect for. I think with the defund the cops, and there have been some, you know, bad apples and stuff like that. There's bad apples everywhere. You know, public radio probably has a bad apple or two.
Want a list?
But basically, I just saw a video of this shootout at the church.
Yeah.
And these cops ran towards the bullets. They put their lives on the line for a basic blue-collar salary. And I wasn't glorifying them. When I have a bad cop, I let you know it's a bad cop. It's all fiction, but I write it with a passion and respect for law enforcement officers everywhere.
Which makes...
That's it. It's not political. It's in my heart, and I know cops, and I know how much they give.
I think that's an important point to make, because you do this, and it is it's what makes you such a good crime fiction writer. I want to mention the fact that Kylie McDonald, Kylie, that character name comes from your dog.
Yes, here's my dog McDonald. No, Kylie. No, when I was thinking of two characters, I want a male and a female. So my grandson is Zach.
Yeah.
And my dog is Kylie, and it sounded like, you know, a great couple. And so it became Kylie and Zach.
Well, you know how much I've not met Zach
speaking
yet.
Speaking of great characters, Joe.
Yeah. All right. Here we go. Chapter 68. You ready? Chapter 68. There were six NYPD detectives working at the DOI, that is Department of Investigation, for those of you not in the biz. Any one of them could have helped us track down Banta, but when you're investigating a uniformed member of the FDNY, you want a detective that will ask very few questions. That was Joe Donahue. I made it as a character in the...
Read how you became friends with
5 years ago, Joe had been shot in the line of duty. At least a dozen detectives were assigned to look for the shooter, but I'm the one who collared him. I remember the day I walked into Joe's hospital room and gave him the good news. He never said, "I owe you one." He didn't have to. The gratitude was in his eyes, and the bond was formed. After Joe recovered, the PC offered him a safe spot at DOI, and he grabbed it.
That cop bond is also important, because sometimes cops who are trying to solve crimes. By the way, you said I was going to be mirthful. I sound like, you know, one of your typical, you know, political shows. But cops who are trying to be helpful sometimes have their hands tied.
Oh, Marshall, so you're many things, but typical isn't one of them.
Okay, thank you.
You're not typical.
I wish they could all see the clown suit I'm
wearing. I wish you were typical, but you aren't.
Please. My wife is not listening to this.
No.
Mine
isn't either, probably.
So Zach and Joe Donahue, the fictional Joe Donahue, they have a bond, because Joe got shot in the line of duty and Zach tracked down the shooter. It's kind of like me and you, you know? For some reason, you feel indebted to me, because once a year I feel 20 minutes of your dead air time.
Well, no, and not only that, but you're a good friend. You're someone I can talk to. You've been very nice. I've been to your home. You are always so welcoming, and we have a lovely time. You're a very nice man.
Yeah, we do.
We have a very good friendship.
We are nice men. We care about each other's families, and this is just the fun part.
Yeah.
You're not really hawking my book. We're just two guys.
But I...
having a good time on the radio at the expense of people who are trapped at home.
But with that said, I do. I always bring this up, but I worry about you. I just want to make sure that the checks are coming in, they're clearing, everything's okay. You doing all right?
Well, I try to pass myself off as a poor, struggling pensioner living up here in Ulster County. But
yeah.
When when my barn burned down 3 years ago, and I told my wife we're building a new one using the insurance money, I didn't tell her that that would pay for the front step, and then the rest was on me. But yeah, I do okay, Joe. And don't worry about me.
All right, I'm not. I won't. So you have written the seventh, or you're writing the seventh?
Oh no, I'm writing. I really do have a terrific idea. I finished writing Red Six a while back, and I wanted to take a break from the Red series, and I've written two books since then. One, which I shared with you, which is not ready for prime time, was it was a first-person female voice.
Yeah.
I wanted to completely go out of my comfort zone.
No, what's not ready about that? I love that book.
Well, thank you. No, it's just I showed it to a couple of, I think it's because the way I wrote it, I wound up giving this woman, I mean, the listeners will probably go, what's he talking about?
No.
What I'm talking about is a woman who is, when she's a teenager, her mother is seriously ill with a terminal disease.
Yeah.
And when her mother dies, she tells the teenage daughter, keep an eye on your dad. He's 43 years old. He's going to be single. He's going to be good looking. He's going to be a great catch. And women are going to come after him. And, you know, women do come after him with no shame. And in some cases, it's not pretty. And then 25 years later, this young teenage girl is also 43, comes down with the same terminal disease. And she realizes after going through with her father that when she dies, they're going to be coming after her husband. And she decides that she wants to help find the right person before she goes to replace her, to take care of her husband and her kids, because the title of the book is Women with Casseroles.
That's right.
That those women with casseroles are going to show up. So it's not quite ready for prime time, but there's one I wrote and just finished a couple of weeks ago that my agent is talking about, which is another NYPD task force that winds up very involved in counterterrorism. I don't know, Joe, I should show it to you. It could be the best thing I've written. I love it. We are just starting to look for a publisher. It's been great. So now I'm back to Red 7. Now that
this one's
Red 6
out.
Is out, people are going to want another book, hopefully. You know, you could send them to my website to sample some of the...
Carp Kills.
Carp Kills, K-A-R-P-K-I-L-L-S.
CarpKills.com.
Or... they could go to your website, and you'll send them to my website.
That's right. We'll have a link up on ours.
There's some cool stuff, including, I don't know if you saw it last night. It went up last night. The video that James made saying, I'm turning everything over to Marshall.
Yeah, I did see that.
Yeah.
I did see that.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's nice.
I like that.
it's like
amicable.
It's like he's pulling the pin and handing it over to you.
Joe, we have to talk, but not on here.
You know, and here's a huge question that I won't ask the question because we don't have time for you to answer it, unfortunately. But let me just say it as a statement, which is, I read that last book, the Women with Casseroles, and I just wonder, like, how in the world that some books can find publishers that are really good, and yet I read books that have been printed by publishers and they suck. I don't get it. I don't understand it.
I can answer it pretty simply. It's just that I think Patterson got 38 rejections on his first book. Stephen King talks about getting, you know,
sure,
40 rejections.
Yep.
You know, Harper Lee. I mean, it's like it's not an art form once it leaves my office. It's a business, and they look at it and they go, can this guy sell? The publisher of two of my books had problems positioning me because they're cops, they're getting, the crime is good, but you know, it's a little funny. Well, in real life, cops are pretty funny because when you when your life is on the line every day, or when you work in a dark area like running a morgue, there's a lot of black humor, or public radio.
Well, yeah. No, you're right.
Yeah.
I
can't tell. But also, Joe, think of movies. Sometimes it's just connections.
No, I know.
You know. Maybe one day a publisher will see Women with Casseroles, the next version of it, and say, yeah, let's go. There's something else.
Okay, but we only have 30 seconds.
No,
go ahead.
I can now self-publish and give readers a chance to vote, as opposed to people who are trying to pick one book out of every 100 that they see.
Well, that's good too.
I don't fault the system; it is the system. But now there are other opportunities for readers to see stuff that I've written that I think they might like.
The name of the new book is NYPD Red 6. It is out today from Grand Central. Marshall Karp, you are always my favorite. Thank you very much.
And carpkills.com to you too, Joe.
Thank you very much, Marshall. Be well. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.